Welcome back to Sharp Elbows on Double Radio 92.7 FM. I'm joined by Sean Feta Place of Main Street Alliance. Late last night, I think the Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke teed up this radio show pretty well when he made a statement indicating that he supports raising taxes on working families by cutting off the enhanced child tax credit that was passed via the American Rescue Plan. He literally tweeted, Congress should immediately cancel the proposed payments to families with kids, which just from a comms perspective just sounds so dumb. How does a statement like that make you feel as someone who works, you know, very closely with small businesses?
Well, I have to say, I'm not the kind of person who fantasizes about cutting off help for Wisconsin families at 10:30 p.m. on a Friday. So obviously different perspectives and different views on issues, but it was really, I think, pretty mind-bending to see that. First off, the inflation, this whole, like, there's two kind of big lies happening right now with WMC and the Republicans in the state. There's the UI piece. I guess BadgerCare is in there too. So there's really three. And then the third would be really that there's out of control inflation. I think they're trying to turn Biden to Jimmy Carter or something. They have, they're going to, you know, the gas shortage thing. I mean, this is all like them trying to turn Biden to Carter and doing whatever they can, lying however much they need to in order to accomplish that. And so the fact of the matter is that inflation is not out of control. If you look at most of the major financial institutions, you know, they think it's really going to be a blip in the process. And frankly, we had deflationary, this is going to get a little, I'm not an economist, but I play one on TV and I know enough about this stuff to to opine on it. We had huge deflationary pressure in the economy for the past year because of a deadly pandemic that killed millions of people, and that also had the impact of I think it was like 30-40 million people had COVID in the country at one point. And so, you know, places were closed. You didn't have as much economic activity happening. We actually lost 20 million jobs and at the beginning of the pandemic, and we've been slowly crawling ourselves out. Things are reopening right now. You know, Madison, things are reopening. People are, at least here, vaccine rates are pretty high in Dane County. There's a lot more work that needs to be done equity-wise to make sure everyone has the opportunity to get vaccinated. There's parts of the state where that's not as much the case, unfortunately, because of another big lie that's been perpetuated by them. Just the other day, Devin Lemieux said that he wasn't vaccinated because he was training for a marathon. Well, a COVID would really mess up a marathon for you. And it just, like, this willful ignorance and almost like stubbornness to in terms of making that a political issue. And so, you know, there were really deflationary pressures in the economy. So now, like, things are reopening. You know, there's disruptions. Like, there's a lot of challenges with the economy right now because you have a lot of people hiring all at once. You have behavioral change happening all at once. And that's going to cause some challenges. But I mean, if he thinks it's a problem that all of a sudden people are being paid more money for their job, and he thinks that's a real challenge for our state and a thing that he's going to use it as an excuse to cut off benefits for families, I just don't know. For folks who are listening to this, what he's talking about is, so the child tax credit was essentially supercharged. It's existed before, but it's been bumped up, and it's going to become monthly payments starting in July for families. It will be $250 per kid above the age of seven and $300 per kid under the age of seven. So if you have three children, you're going to be getting $900 a month in ongoing payments through at least December. And the American Families Plan, which is currently making its way through Congress, would actually make that permanent. So it is a huge deal. It is arguably the best thing that, other than getting the pandemic more under control, that the president probably has done since being in office. It would cut childhood poverty in half as a result of that, which is a profoundly huge deal. And for him to see that as a bad thing, I just think is really confusing.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting because they call themselves the party of fiscal responsibility when it's really fiscal irresponsibility. I don't understand in what world, you know, a proposal that would cut childhood poverty in half, you know, childhood poverty that exists in their own districts. These people don't live in an insulated world. You know, it blows my mind that they would be so irresponsible. And I think I found it, frankly, just fascinating, and I still can't process it. And I think that leads very well into my next question with, you know, they've just rejected Badger Care expansion and lost Wisconsin so much money in funds that could have gone to infrastructure, to healthcare, to projects in their own districts to help, you know, both Republican and Democratic constituents. You know, does the Main Street Alliance support Badger Care expansion? What would you want the public to know about it?
And actually, real quick before that, just so folks know, Justin Kakana, where Representative Steinecke is from, the majority leader, there are 1,000 children that would get their families this benefit, and it would help the local economy. So I let those 2,000 families contact him and ask him why that's his view on that issue.
Absolutely.
As far as Badger Care, we're very much supportive of expansion. Badger Care is the best thing that Tommy Thompson did while governor with the legislature. It is originally done under a Republican governor, and I think we need to remind people of that. And it is one of the most successful, it's really a success story. A lot of the good things about the Affordable Care Act were modeled off of the success of Badger Care in Wisconsin. And so, you know, right now we've had Medicaid covering up to 100% of poverty. And they made some changes in the state where folks were 100 to 138% of poverty, which is about $18,000 a year for an individual, that they could get marketplace insurance. This is the argument they're making about why we should not expand Badger Care, which would give 95,000 people in our state health and very good health insurance that would allow them to go to the doctor, get the help they need, catch a cancer, whatever the case might be. So they're making the argument that, oh, people can just go into the marketplace and get the subsidized insurance. The problem with that is that there are co-pays, there are deductibles, and there are out-of-pocket costs. I don't know about you. I've been poor at points in my life. I had a teeth extracted from my mouth because I couldn't afford to get them fixed, okay? I've been through some shit. And I know that at that point in my life, could I have afforded a $1,750 copay? Hell no. There's no way I could have paid that. And so it's really misleading to say that people can just go in the marketplace and get insurance because it isn't affordable at that price, at that income level. What we need to do is make sure that people who are 138% of poverty or below get that insurance through Badger Care. The other thing to know about this is that our state would get $1.6 billion with a B if we took the expansion. That's on top of the cost to administer the program. That's extra. That's on top of the cost to actually provide the insurance. The federal government has done that to incentivize states to take the expansion. We're only one of 12 states that have not taken it. Oklahoma has taken it. You know, Idaho has taken it. There are Indiana. We are the only state in the West that has not taken the expansion. And it's purely based on politics. It's because Scott Walker ran for president and flamed out in 5 minutes in Iowa. And he didn't want to look like he was taking, quote, Obamacare. So he didn't want to take the expansion. Ever since then, Robin Voss has found it to be really enjoyable from a power standpoint to be able to deny those 95,000 people health insurance in the state. People, even though it was stripped out of the budget, this is not over. Our organization is going to fight like hell between now and the next cycle to get this done, to apply pressure on people like Howard Markline, Dale Kuyinga, Mary Felskowski, members of the Assembly and Senate. I encourage all of you, if your local rep is having a town hall, if they're doing an event, show up, ask them about this. Ask them why they say no to $1.5 billion to insure 95,000 fewer people because Scott Walker ran for president. because that's fundamentally what this is about. I would say the last thing on this is that there's work to do with the insurance lobby and with the hospitals. They make more money off of privately insured individuals than they do on BadgerCare. So they need to be pressured as well to speak up and to pressure the majority to do something about this. Ultimately, it's better for their bottom line if more people are in the private insurance market than in BadgerCare. That doesn't mean it's a good thing for our state.
Well, I never thought I'd be quoting JP Morgan, but as they said about UI, it's not economics, it's politics. We'll be right back with Sean Feta Place after this quick break. My opera presentation sizzles the retina. How far must you go to gain respect? Well, it's kind of simple. Just remain your own, or you'll be crazy, sad, and alone. Industry rule number 4080. Record company people are shady. So kids, watch your back, because I think they smoke crack. I don't doubt it. Look at how they act.